try to go out. I find that David made this statement. And the reason David made this statement is because the Lord was so real to him. You can find this in Psalms 54. He made this statement. He said, "I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble." Now, this is not the message that I came to preach. But I have seen what it is to rejoice when there's nothing going wrong. I know what it means to rejoice when things aren't going my way. Brother Larry, I know how it feels to rejoice when I don't feel his presence. But so many times we forget that we've got to sacrifice to him freely. Because he freely gave to each and every one of us upon the cross. Now, why is it that David was able to make this statement? "I will freely sacrifice." He is completely surrendered. He's being hunted by Saul at this point. But he is completely surrendered. I'm not using anything but this right here to back this up. He was completely sold out. That there was nothing that was off limits to God. That's why he could make this statement, "I will freely sacrifice." So let me ask you this question. What is it that you are unwilling to sacrifice tonight? I had to come to that realization tonight, Pastor, back there on that step. This isn't what I came to preach. What is it that I am keeping? What is it that's not on the list of, "Lord, this is what I will give to you"? Is it my job? Is it my home? Is it my finances? Is it my strength? Is it my dedication? Am I dedicated to something else? Is something taking more of my time than him? What am I dedicating? What am I... So many times, we are willing to throw our strength and our energy into something we know that's going to benefit us with monetary need, with monetary substance. So if I said, "Hey, I need two people to come up and help me move this altar, and it's going to pay $20 a piece. It just needs to be moved from here to there." Some of us that can barely move would be like, "Hey, that's pretty easy money." And we would sacrifice, even if we stumbled and fell, even if we stubbed our toe, because we were receiving something out of it. Just listen to my heart for just a moment. Whenever we come into the house of God, what is it I'm keeping back? What is it I'm reserving for myself? I find so many times that it is so easy to say, "Well, I will give you anything that you ask." When there's people standing beside me that's saying the same thing. Because I can tell you back when some of the wars were going on, people were running and signing up before, even when they were 15, 16 years old, some 14 years old, lying about their age because they wanted to serve. But when I find we're called into the service of God, we all of a sudden find reservations for myself. Well, I can't give that, or I can't do that. Why was it David was able to make this statement, that I will freely sacrifice? Because he had given everything to God. Now, oh, Jesus, help me right here. Because in the beginning, I need one of you young boys, come help me real quick. Who's going to be first? All right, we got one right here. We find when he was young that when Samuel made a call that he was going to anoint one of them king, one of the sons of Jesse was to be called the next king of Israel. We find there was one that was left out of the field, out in the field, because they didn't think he was worthy. But we find when he came that he didn't just come and get prayed over. Get this. When he came and received the call, he wasn't just prayed over, but he was anointed. He was anointed. That horn of oil was poured out upon him. Thank you, buddy. He was anointed. And when he was walking and hiding from Saul, and when he was out serving, no wonder whenever he walked into that valley and he heard them calling out and saying, send me a man, there wasn't a man that was willing to stand, but there was a young boy or a young man that was willing to stand, because he said, there's something that I have been anointed for. There is something that I have been called for. I have been called to serve and to sacrifice freely. Even if my life is lost on the battlefield, at least it will now look like a battlefield instead of a place where there is a parade going on. So many times we come and we want to present ourselves as we're some nice float, some nice church. Amen. We've got to begin to get down here in the midst, amen, of the valley where the war zone is at. It doesn't look like a war zone down here tonight, because we've found a place, amen, in our pew and say, I'll just sacrifice from here. I find that David made the statement, I will sacrifice freely, whether I'm in the back of the field or whether I'm in the midst of the cave or whether I'm in the midst of marching down, amen, through Jerusalem with the Ark of God. I'm willing to give a sacrifice freely. We've got to realize, hallelujah, that we've got to give it to him. Notice this next portion in the scripture. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Now, we obey the speed limit because we don't want a ticket. Because it's good for us if we don't receive one. Right? We pay our taxes because we don't want to get a fine from the IRS. All of a sudden, you go up to the ATM. Man, I've been doing good. I've got an extra $15,000 in the bank. I've been able to cheat the IRS. All of a sudden, you stick your debit card in there, and it's denied. Is it because whenever I come into the house of God and I go to lift up a praise, and all of a sudden nothing is coming down, I'm denied? He's been good to me. I'm just going to preach for just a minute. How many of us in here are paying our tithes? You know, there's that 10% that's supposed to go into the church. Your tithes. Then there's this one little part that we always seem to forget about. Offerings. And we all, that's just, $10 is all I can give. Let me tell you this. You cannot outgive God. If a man will take care of his responsibilities, or a woman, you will be blessed. Now, you might not have the newest Cadillac, or the newest mower, or the newest tractor off the lot, but you will have something that will get you to where you need to go. He is found faithful. Now, I find that David makes this statement, for he is good. Now, has the Lord been good to you at all last week? Wasn't his presence so real to us? Wasn't it personal? But when we come into his house, shouldn't we be personal back to him? We find that David was a man after whose heart? God's heart. Then later in verse number 7, he says, "For he hath delivered me out of trouble." Now, how many in here is saved tonight? See a smiling, saved face. You have been removed from your trouble. So that should give you joy. That should give you love. That should give you adoration towards the King. Amen. We need to revisit. I had to revisit myself back there. You say, well, that sounds weird. Sometimes you have to get down and get honest with yourself. Why is it we think David made this statement, "Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked"? Now, there might not be anybody in here planning to go out and create and cause some major crime in the world, but you might be thinking about creating a moral sin. Let me talk to you for just a minute. Some of us reach out and talk to people we know we don't have any business talking to. Sometimes we sneak away and we find something that begins to appeal to the flesh way more than it should be. We get so wrapped up and caught up in it that we forget who we're supposed to be serving. Now, I find that we have one purpose. That whenever we are forgiven from our sins, we are supposed to turn away from and not go back to. How do we keep from going back? Brother Jason so well preached it the other night. There's no plan B. You got to burn the bridge. We've got to begin to launch ourselves into the service of the kingdom. Because once we realize that there is a service, we have been saved and we have been anointed by the King, amen, of kings and Lord of lords. We are no longer, amen, children of this world, but we have now been adopted. Amen. We have, amen, a mission that we are to fulfill. In order for us to do that, we have to be willing to lay it all out on the altar. All of our heartache, all of our disappointments, all of our discouragement, amen, all of our plans, our hopes, our dreams, and say, "Lord, I will go wherever you call me to." Whether it's to the altar in the middle of song service, whether it's walking around the church in the middle, amen, of testimony service, all of a sudden something gets a hold of us. What are we doing? We are offering a sacrifice of praise, and it's free. We've got to get back to giving freely to Him. Because the last 10 months, He's been pouring freely into us. I wish I had a big bowl up here with some water in a cup. I'd show you what it means to give freely. Amen. It's something, amen, that begins to pour out, amen, of the reservoir, amen, that fountain, amen, that comes from the throne room of God, that life springing up within us. It begins to flow, and it begins to run through, amen, the veins of our heart, and all of a sudden we can't help but say, oh, I love you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. What am I doing? I'm offering up, amen, a sacrifice, amen, freely, not looking for anything in return, but just simply saying, Lord, I love you because you gave me another day to breathe. Lord, I love you. Amen. That my family member hasn't left this earth when they're not even saved. I thank you, Lord, that there's another opportunity. Amen. That a soul might be saved today. I thank you, Lord. Amen. Let me give us a small picture of how we're supposed to respond and freely sacrificing. We can look in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter number 6. In verse number 1, it makes this statement. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. How long has it been? Not long for me. I just seen it. That I looked up towards the throne room of God and seen that there was no place where he'd ever lost a victory. He's never lost a battle. And every battle he's won, they're still there. They're not being attacked again because the enemy can't go back against the bloodline. Come on now. And I had to realize there is something that I'm missing, Brother Jason. Brother Matthew, can I use you for just a minute? Brother Matthew, do you have problems with your feet?
I do.
Why'd you run around the church Friday night?
Because I knew it's what God wanted.
He knew it's because that's what God wanted him to do. Was that a sacrifice?
It was.
Did it hurt?
Yes, it was great.
But yet you did it. But not once. You ran around the church a couple times, didn't you? Why is that? Thank you, brother. It's just a little testimony right there of a freely given sacrifice. Let me tell you here about 15 years ago, I was out in the baseball field, and I fell, stepped in a gopher hole with Larry, and I popped my ankle. I didn't just pop it. I sprang it, possibly pulled some ligaments. It immediately swelled up and turned purple. I had to take my shoe off because it was so tight. I was wearing tennis shoes, and there's lots of room in there. And the boys that I was with, they said, man, we probably ought to take you to the doctor. I was like, no, we got church tonight. I'm going to church. Come here, Isaac. This is how I went into church. Let's go across the front here. There was somebody helping me. I'm going to sit here on the front row, okay? All right. That's about as far as I'm going to get. And here, stand here beside me. One of the boys that went and played ball with me was beside me because they helped me get in. And the song service started going. And I stood up. And my friend was standing here beside me, and I kind of held on to him every once in a while, just kind of get my balance good and steady. And I said, oh, I love you, Lord. But then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, jump. A sacrifice that is supposed to be freely given, that's going to hurt. And you know what? Everything inside of my mind said no. But my heart said, because he loved me so, I'll say yes. And I kind of like I'll just do kind of like the little hop. What I done is I went ahead and put a little pressure on it, and it hurt. And I started crying because of the pain, Brother Robert. And it hurt, Brother Charles. But I said, I got to push past the hurt. Because he was riveted through the side. He was nailed to a tree. His back was stripped of the flesh. This is going to hurt. And I jumped up and it hurt. But when I came down, it made a popping noise and the pain was gone. And I just kept jumping around the church. And I kept jumping around the church. Why was I doing it? All of a sudden, because I was obedient. Amen. And a simple, amen. What seems simple to some is, why is he jumping? Nobody else knew except a few what had happened. But God began to bring forth a miracle. Sometimes our miracle is just waiting on us to have a sacrifice that is freely given, not expecting anything, but just to love him. He didn't promise he was going to heal me, Brother Jason. He said, just worship me. Amen. And I decided he was a worthy cause. Amen. What would happen here tonight if we would begin to make a decision that he was worthy of a freely given sacrifice, not expecting anything in return, but just simply say, Jesus, I love you. Right after the service, a friend of mine's like, I got to see, what's it look like? There was no discoloration. There was no soreness. Something had been restored that was taken from me by my own doing. I was out playing, and I got hurt. But the Lord seemed fit to build my faith by me acting on what little faith I had. Our faith has to have an increase. Why was it David was able to make this statement? Because he said, I don't think we realize. I'm not going to be here much longer. I'm fixing to wrap up. When he went down to meet Goliath, he had a staff in his hand that was handed down from him, that was a symbol of everything that he was and who he was going to be. But when he went out to that battlefield and went down to that brook, the Bible talks about that staff. We don't hear about it during the battle. We only hear about the stones that he picked up. Now, Jonathan, you've got a little slingshot. How easy would it be to sling that stone around if you had a staff, which most of those staffs were 6 foot tall. They had to be tall in order to reach out there and direct the sheep. Would it be easy to hold that staff and swing that slingshot around? No. It'd be nigh impossible, wouldn't it? We find that David laid who he was down at the brook, gathered up what God's purpose was in his life in that satchel. Let me tell you, church, there is a purpose for you tonight. Don't waste it. What he done for you in camp meeting, don't squander it away tomorrow. Don't let this service pass you by without giving a sacrifice freely. A freely given sacrifice is given something and expecting nothing in return. We find it didn't just start and stop in David's life, but it went on to his son, coach who was from that lineage of David. We find it didn't just start and stop in David, but all of a sudden it started in Solomon. And it didn't stop in Solomon. It went to the next generation, to the next generation, until all of a sudden there came forth, amen, from Mary, amen, there was a, amen, a child that was born, and his name was to be called Jesus. We find that Jesus was the one that said, this lineage isn't going to stop here. I'm not going to just make it available, amen, to the Jews. I'm also going to make it available to the Gentiles and to the Greeks and to the uttermost parts of the world. Let me show you what it means to give a sacrifice freely. I don't expect anything in return, but yet I lay my life down freely, and I will take it up again, so that you have hope, so that you have life, and that you can have it for eternity. Amen. We've got to begin to say, I offer a sacrifice freely. Jump back to Isaiah real quick. Lindsay, get ready. And above stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he did cover his feet, and with twain he did fly. This is what I want us to look at right here. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And one cried unto another. Amen. I want somebody, Isaac, will you help me? I'm going to say holy, and you're going to say holy. Holy.
Holy.
Holy.
Holy.
Holy.
Holy.
Holy.
Holy.
Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy. Holy. Is he holy in your life? Is he holy what you look to? Is he holy what you hope for? Is he holy what you hope for tomorrow? Amen. I'm here to tell you, we've got to begin to lift up a voice, amen, of praise, freely sacrificing of ourselves, saying, holy is the Lord. Amen. Holy is Jehovah. Holy is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is worthy. You'll have to forgive this crazy guy. If you think, why in the world is he doing that again? Know this, I'm not doing it for you. I'm not doing it for you to look on and say, hey, look at him. Now, if you get inspired by my foolishness here, hey, that's all right. I find that I don't do it to draw attention, but I do it to give adoration. I don't do it because I hope that I might get blessed, because I'm already blessed. That's why I throw my hands up and say, I love you, Lord. Amen. Because I find, amen, that he wants to give us strength. Amen. He wants to give us courage. We find, amen, as Joshua receives, amen, notice, amen, from the king, amen, the leadership, amen, the captain of the Lord's host says, be of good courage. Take strength, amen, from this fact that I'm standing beside you. I'm standing behind you. I'm going before for you. Amen. I'm here to tell you tonight, I came to serve notice on the devil. He can't have my sacrifice because it freely belongs to Jesus Christ. Whether I feel like it or not, I will praise him. Because he's looking down from the throne room of God, and he is making intercession for you, for me, even this night, as the enemy comes against our soul and no doubt tries to discourage us, as he tried to discourage me tonight. Amen. I've got to take courage. We find he makes his statement in the New Testament. He says, be of good cheer. Take courage here tonight. Amen. The Lord is on your side. He is here to raise up, amen, a standard against the enemy. Amen. That standard isn't something that looks like you, but it looks like him. He raises up himself. Says, see these nail prints. See this pure side. Amen. See this bruised brow. I did it for them. This is what you've got to go through. I've been all the way to the pits of hell and back. And I'm going to offer up a sacrifice freely to them. A sacrifice. Whatever I have, whatever it may be, it's all I got. There it is. This word, unless I'm willing to believe in it, and the one we find in John, he says, I am the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning, in Genesis 1 and 1, it was Him. We find in the end of Revelations that it ends with Him. I've got to place it upon the altar. Amen. Once I have everything that I hold dear. London, come here, baby. Hurry. Sit down right here. When we had a baby dedication for this little girl, I gave her back to God. I placed her on the altar. Whatever God's will is for her, I want to see it fulfilled. When I placed her there on the altar, it is worthless unless I'm there too. Because when this little girl looks at me, Brother Jason, she can't see me. She's got to see that sacrifice that came down from the throne room of God and placed himself upon an old rugged cross. Let me just talk to you about salvation. It's so important that if we don't realize the importance of it, we will lose our courage. We will lose our joy in the middle of our relationship because we stop seeing the standard, that banner that he raises up and says, look at these blood-stained hands. Look at this blood-stained brow. Look what I have done for you. So here tonight, thank you, sis. I'm willing to give freely. And I'm here. And you are there. I can't ask you to come unless I'm willing to go first. When Jesus Christ made the statement to the disciples, pick up your cross and follow me. Why was it he was able to make that statement? Because he was already bearing his cross. Here I am. This is not to draw attention to me, but this is to help us realize something. I am here alone. And I'm okay with that. Honey, how long will we stand alone? We've given sacrifice upon the altar and sacrifice upon the altar, sacrifice upon the altar again. And I'm still alone. This isn't a pity party. I'm still alone. Because I stood in the back of this sanctuary tonight and I looked at the front of this church the way you're looking at me. Well, I don't feel anything. He's still standing, saying, whosoever will, come. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come. Give of yourself freely to Him. And then allow yourself to be open to Him. And let Him begin to pour in something freely to you. Go ahead, Vince.
Look around and I see all the works your hands have made, the awesomeness of you.